is that the mikshachas with their, you know, hashkafa and the way that they tackle, you know, broader issues also. So, you know, it's chaval that we don't have more. You know, whatever we have, like the Ritva Sefer Zikaron is also a great example, where the Ritva, you know, defends the Rambam, especially the Rambam's in Mor Nebuchim, from the critique of, you know, the Ramban, Perush Al HaTorah, which is a fascinating thing, especially since the Ritva was much closer to the worldview, obviously, of the Ramban, much more sympathetic with it, and even when he responds, he often responds, you know, in a Ramban-esque, you know, kind of fashion. He's like responding and defending the Rambam sometimes, you know, in a but from a, you know, ironically from his Ramban-oriented stance. But where we have the Rishonim speaking about these broader topics, whether it's the Raivid and Balei Nefesh, or the Ritva and Sefer Zikaron, or the Ran, you know, in the Drashas Haran, you know, whether just a little bit more, or the Ramban, of course. Imagine if you only had the Ramban in the Chidushim and Mochamos, right? Which would be amazing, you know, enough. But obviously, you know, the added perspective that we have in terms of his, you know, breadth and depth and, you know, the consistency and you know, the Omek in the Ramban al-Torah, or when he writes Kuntresim, like Drasha l'Rosh Hashanah, or last year we spent a little time, you know, in Torah Sa'adam when we were talking about Chasen Avel and some of the issues of Avelis. So you just really see and have just much even greater, not, you always have an appreciation, but, you know, for the, you know, the greatness of these great men. And that's true in the Achronim too, when we have, you know, these kind of stars. Again, if he had only the Shiurim of the Rav, and he didn't have Ish Halacha or, you know, his other talks, you know, you'd be missing a lot. But when you have them both, and you see how consistent they all are, it's just, you know, layers on layers, and, you know, an added, not just inspiration, but added depth. So the Drashas Haran is just, if you're not familiar with it, it's just an amazing sefer, and it's very impactful, because again, some of the issues, you know, some of his, you know, Loba Shamayim he stuff and so on, which actually appears in this same drasha, appears in a couple of the drashas, you know, are classical. And of course it was picked up, like many things, we've discussed this in the past, you know, sometimes, you know, Hashgacha plays, you know, its own role. So, you know, sometimes things don't get, you know, picked up and publicized, you know, for centuries later, you know, but when they do, you know, it's like, you know, we talked about how the Ran and Habagarish and his view of Eni Mesira Karsi, which is, again, a landmark view, you know, basically, you know, once the, you know, Psos was Mefarsim, and so, you know, it just took on much greater significance. And mentioned, you know, the Ksos's impact on Rashi and Kiddush and Samachem and Beis about Hodas Bal and Kemedim Dami. There, I'm not even sure whether Rashi knew what he was saying, like the Ksos did. But the Ksos again happened in his Hakadama, happened to, you know, zero in on the and expand on the Drashas Haran's view of the Lobo Shemayim Hi, and you know, Ein Navi Rosh Hashanah Chadish Dover Miata, and that's one of the things that catapulted this, you know, in terms of being more well known. So you never know. I can give you hundreds of examples of these things, you know, different shitos or ideas that just got picked up. So instead of, you know, seeing it as a coincidence, we should really look at it as a kind of, you know, that's the funny or tricky or, you know, fascinating way that the Masorah sometimes, you know, works. You have some idea and, you know, can sit around for a while until the right moment, you know, where people can begin to appreciate it. It could be historical, you know, circumstances that make it appealing, or it can be, you know, just somebody who, you know, finally, you know, really, you know, clicked in his worldview and then he projected it. Whatever the case may be, these are really... So I want to speak about the Drashas Haran today, but first let's talk about some of the issues that were outstanding from last time. If you didn't get a chance, I just wanted to read that line or two of the Michlas Chinuch. So we were talking about the question of Kabbalah Seidus, you know, for Dina Nefashos being accomplished by Gimel. Again, we'll speak more about Kabbalah Seidus throughout the year. But again, since we had the opportunity here in our discussion with Din Zayinim and Beis, and Machlokas Rishonim and Echad Medaber, or Shnayim Medaberim and Echad Shomea, so we have an opportunity already to get a foothold into that, so I want to speak a little bit more about it. So the... two Minchas Chinuchs that I was talking about. One is in Simin Mitzvah Tav Samech Dalid, where he talks about Iron Nidachas. Parenthetically, because it's another example, the Minchas Chinuch discusses whether the din of Iron Nidachas, by the way, applies only in Eretz Yisrael or also in Chutz Laaretz. And he says, "Hinei din Iron Nidachas." This is Steve Cotton. Hey, this is a parenthetical comment. "Ein din Iron Nidachas no hay gelav Eretz Yisrael." And he adds, "Apa pish einam befurash ein sarach lafarish." So those are always, you know, interesting ones as well. There's no raya, but it's, you know, it's got to be that way. This can only be a din in Iron Nidachas. Then he tries to bring more of a technical raya. Kol shekein Yerushalayim me'orei miklat. It has to be arecha. The chutz laretz eino arecha. Okay. Anyways, and then he says, kvar kasamti lecha kama pa'amim eza nikra eretz Yisrael. So we know what that means. He doesn't elaborate here, but, you know, we talked about the fact that the Minchas Chinuch L'Shitaso always thinks that the boundaries of Kedushas Eretz Yisrael in Trumas HaMaestros should be the ones, you know, for other dinim too. That's his view in Parhal and Bavashal Tzibur, that's his view in Smicha, that's his view in Kiddush HaKodesh, you know, and so on. And that's why he has to be very creative in all these places, you know, to kind of neutralize the contrary evidence, some of which is in the Rambam, some of which is in other Makoros, etc. So he clearly thinks that Iron Nidachas is limited to Eretz Yisrael, and though it should apply to the boundaries of Trumas HaMaestros. And I would certainly agree with the first comment, you know, even without a raya, that Iron Nidachas makes no sense outside of Eretz Yisrael, but more for not just because of the Xeris HaKosov or Arecha, the Ein Arecha, the Bechutzart, but what that signifies. Just like we were talking about Smicha, you know, in the Makar from the Yerushalmi, you know, Ben Adam Beis Yisrael Yoshim Al Ad Masam, right, Ein Yeshiva Ella, you know, Be'eretz Yisrael, so, which works in with Arecha, there's no Arecha, but again, it's for this bigger reason and this bigger idea, obviously. But again, I would, you know, I would not be at all surprised, you know, if we could ask the Rambam, you know, what he thinks, you know, whether the boundaries of Iron Nidachas, you know, Eretz Yisrael. I'm pretty, you know, I would put, you know, a big wager on the Rambam saying that it's the boundaries of Olei Mitzrayim, not the boundaries of Trumas HaMaestros, for the very same reason. But anyways, that aside, so then he in Os Yotes is where he discusses the issue that we were discussing, and there he says that Bishas Rambam Mavuar Da Bezdin Dekan, referring to Iron Nidachas, Ba'ir Mekablin Edus Ein Bishas Dema'ainin Bedin Umaskin Bezdin Agadol Va'edim Einum Tzrichim Lachsor Lahagin Bezdin Agadol Klal. Doesn't seem like the, unlike Tosas in Menachos Samachem and Aleph, who seems to hold that way. But that's not the pashtus of the Gemara in Kufi Beis of an Aleph in Sanhedrin. The lav haki enkan kabbalas edus kol. Rak beemes ha kabbalas edus ubebezin shebeir. Right? Rak l'gmar din, he has here gzeres hakosuv shetzarech lios bebezin agadol shebelishchas hagazes. So he doesn't say what the Avodas HaMelech says and what the Rav says and what we were talking about, which is that, you know, the actual din or the maisavera, you know, is really bebezin shelchav gimel. It's just a din in the chalos, Iron Nidachas, and all those dinim that requires, you know, the Bezin Shalayin Aleph. But he does kind of get half, and so it's fascinating, he gets halfway there by saying that, you know, the Gemar din is just a Xeris HaKasuv, that it needs to be Bezin Shalayin Aleph. So you might have thought, having said that, that he would just be very amenable, you know, to seeing this as an exception, you know, to the rule, because there is a Kabbalah Seidus in Bezin Shalchav Gimel. But that's why it's so fascinating that he then goes on to say, "Mezeh mevuar," you know, that "Kedas Hagon muva b'Ramban, muva b'Chibur zeh, the data the edus dinin nefashos, avshe dinin nefashos tzrichim Sanhedrin shel chav gimel, kamok and kabbalah seidus avshe dinin nefashos, sagi bebezin shel gimel, b'Ramban hisig, etc. B'kedivre Ramban, the kabbalah seidus shaba lahadin." Notice also how he subtly, when he quotes the Ramban, right, he you know, formulates it in a way that is, you know, that goes a little beyond what the Ramban says. As we said, the Ramban in this Perash Al HaTorah just says it's inconceivable that you don't need the Chav Gimel also for the Kabbalah Seidus. He does not say that Kabbalah Seidus is Shaveh Lahadin. That was more the formulation that we found in the Chidush Eran. And we're not even sure if the Chiddush HaRan meant it, but at least he said it. Because as we noted, right, there are different ways, even if you do require the Chav Gimel, you might say, oh, it's an overlapping common denominator din, meaning the very reason that you require Chav Gimel for the Gemar din is the reason that you need it also for the Kabbalas Eidos, but not because the Kabbalas Eidos per se has to be like the Gemar din. But if you notice, the Mikas Chinuch does formulate that way. I suspect, again, I could be totally wrong, I suspect that this is not unrelated to his number one, you know, quasi admission that this din of Yerni Dachas requiring Ayin Aleph is Exeris HaKasuv. The more it's Exeris HaKasuv, right, the less in its own right and a common denominator overlapping sense that is it compelling to say that you require that for the Kabbalah Seidus. So if there's going to be an equation between them, it's more going to be because Tchila and Gemar are the same. And for that reason too, I think he's just more convinced that there should be no theoretical difference between Gimel and Chaf Gimel discrepancy and the Chaf Gimel and Ayin Aleph discrepancy, which is the suggestion I was making to be Mechalik. That's going to come in just a second. Im Kain, Bidvarim an Yitzrachim Sanhedrin Shal Ayin Aleph, Xeris HaKosuvu Kamo Esrim Shalosh Bishardin and Afashos, meaning they're totally interchangeable. Vayatzorech Kabbalas Eidos Gam Kain B'Shivim B'Yechad. The Kansark Shivim B'Yechad. Mekomokom B'Vur the Kabbalas Eidos Eidot Tzricham Bezen HaGadol. Al Korcha Kabbalas Eidos Eina Tluya B'Hadin. Im Kain Sagi Kabbalas Eidos B'Gimel Gam Kain Kivin Dehem Bezden. Bein Svara Klal, here's the line I was referring to. L'Chalek the Bezen Shal Gimel Ein Donin Kal Din and Afashos. Aval Esther Begimel, the Dunim Dine Nefashos, Yecholim Lakabel, Kivanchu Din Nefashos. He's kind of basically agreeing, acknowledging here, that from the Nefashos point of view, right, Irani Dachas is satisfied by Bezin Shelchav Gimel. It's not like super Nefashos or Nefashos plus, you know, that needs a Bezin Shel Ayin Aleph. It's a Xeris HaKasuv, right? Mikomakom kiven exeris hakosuv who the kan bin and bezin hagadol hayutzrichem the kabbalas edus gamkin shivim biyachad el al korcha kedivra agon the kabbalas edus and the shavu din the dai tamid the bezin shall give. So it sounds like what the Minchas Chinuch is basically presenting us with is an, you know, extreme either or. That's what he's saying, is either there's no reason whatsoever to require the number of dayanim for kabbalas edus, you know, as for the regular Gemar Din at all, right? Or it's a Din that Chilasso and Gemar are always the same, and then we don't care even why you require that in a Gemar Din, and even if you acknowledge that it's not a substantive Din, you know, but it's simply Exeris HaKasuv, you know, even that, you know, will be sufficient. But in between, obviously, those two extremes lie, you know, some of the chilukim, you know, that we were making. And as we were suggesting, you know, number one, the question of Turgamon, you know, might be different than, you know, other aspects of Kabbalah Seidus. Number two, in the case of Turgamon, maybe we're dealing with a gimel that is a delegation of the Chaf Gimel, either with the presence of the Chaf Gimel there, you know, which would really be different, or even if it isn't, but the point is that it's a delegation. We'll get to that in just a second. Or even forgetting this, you know, those two possibilities, as we said before, even if you were to say Tchiloso Bisofo, you still might say, well, but if the Sofo is Exeris HaKasuv, or it's a different aspect of the Din, nothing to do with the Mais Avera, but it has only to do with the ear, you know, you still might make this distinction. As if you were to accept the Avodas HaMelech and the Rav's idea that, you know, that this is just the Din Chalos Yerni Dachas, and it's just about, you know, the Shlal, and it's just about, you know, Taf Venoshim, and it's just about all of these, you know, elements, you know, the Iser Livnos Shuv, and so on, So you might say, well, that doesn't require Hasra. That's not what this Kabbalah Zedus is about. There's no Kabbalah Zedus in any of that. There's no Edus at all, basically. We know the fact from another case, from the Skila case. The fact that we've substituted Saya for Skila, and that we're looking at the, you know, the totality rather than the individuals, that's part of the Gzeres HaKasuv. It's almost like a Kavle Bidraba Mine, although in reverse a little bit, an inverse Kavle Bidraba Mine. But the point is, would you still say, what I'm saying is, even if you were to take the Minchas Chinuch's extremes and say it's Tchila and Sof, even then, this is like a two Dine Torah here. And it's not so clear that, you know, you would even go that far. But in addition to that, there's the other points that we were making, and that is that it's not necessarily a Din of Tchila Masof at all. It's really a question of, do you need the add-ons, the benefits, the qualitative upgrade of Bezin Shalchav Gimel for the Kabbalas Edus of this kind of din. And as far as that is concerned, that's an interesting question. I believe that's what the Ramban really had in mind, not like the Chiddush HaRan or the way Minchas Chinuch is interpreting, that's a din of Tchila Masof per se. That also allows more easily, although I don't think this is a terrible question either way, as we said, if we're going to say Tchila and Sof, so you might, you know, be concerned about things like Yeshiva and Amida, you might be concerned about things about Laila and Yom, I mean other distinctions between, you know, Tchilas Din and Sof Din, or Kabbalas Edus and Gemar Din. You know, to what extent, you know, can we acknowledge that there are different stages in this whole process? There's Kabbalas Edus, there's the Maso Matan, we're going to be discussing this many times throughout the year, there's the Gemar, there's more than one Gemar Din. Right, as we'll see when we talk about Pshara and Daf Vav, it's, you know, I think we talked about this a little bit in Bav Metzia as it came up, right? No? Sounds vaguely familiar? Sure. There's, you know, Ploni Atazakai, there's Chayev Atalitain, you know, there are basically three Gemaras, three different formulations of Gemar Din, and there's discussion in the Rishonim whether they're all the same or not. So even in Gemar Din, there's more than one phase. So this question is very relevant, you know, to all of that, as is the question how you look at Gemar Din more generally. One way to look at Gemar Din, as I say, is that it's, you know, just a collection of facts, and that's neutral. Or that at least in the collection part of facts, there's no chalos nefashos, or chalos mamanis, or chalos iser, and so on. All of this is very specific to the, you know, ultimate consequences or crime, one or the other, or both. There's no such thing as Kabbalah Sedus, in other words, without considering, you know, what the token is and what the what's at stake in terms of Onshin. That's an interesting question, as is the question of, you know, whether or not the Drisha V'Chakira aspect of Kabbalah Sedus is it really part of the Din. Itself. So these are issues that should come into play, which kind of the Minchas Chinuch is ignoring in his presentation of the two extremes. And part of this also would be, as we discussed, the question of the relationship between Gimel Chav Gimel and Ayin Aleph. The idea that a Bezdin, you know, is not part of the same system as a Sanhedrin, but a Sanhedrin Ketana is part of the same system as a Sanhedrin Gedola. The issues that we discussed in that respect as well. Yeah.
I just noticed today that the first halacha in the Perek Dal Halacha Al in the Rambam,
yeah,
doesn't it make it sound like Beis and Shul Gimel is part of the hierarchy?
Well, I think we discussed the those halachas.
I don't remember.
Yeah. So I think yes and no. It's hard to say. Again, we know it's not part of the hierarchy in certain things. In other words, you don't need Bezin Lishon Sagazis, you know, for that Bezin Shel Gimel. You know, the as we said, discuss the qualifications, you know, for Dayan, it's hard to say, but it sounds like they're not just quantitatively less, you know, because you're dealing with, you know, more minor league system and stakes are less. So you just, you know, have to get the best people later. It sounds like it's more, you know, it sounds like it's just different, and there's a qualitative difference. And the question of Minui, and we talked about Ger and things of that sort. I think there are contrary indications of the Rambam, and we'll be seeing this, you know, more throughout. But certainly the idea that, you know, the linguistic and these other things, point to, as much as part of the system, it's also separate from the system, and therefore that the gap between, you know, Gimel and Chaf Gimel is greater than Chaf Gimel and Ayin Aleph, that certainly seems to have very strong evidence, even in the Rambam. So, all right, we have to keep our eyes open for that. We'll discuss it. So this, I think, is these are very, very important issues that come up. Let me just say something else about Kabbalah Seydus in this respect as well. And this, again, goes to something that we talked, those who were here last year, in previous times. So I have this thing about Kabbalah Seydus. You know, people, you know, may know that already. You know, I call it, you know, filing. But I mean it in a totally different way than most people mean filing. Most people see filing as a technicality, and my understanding of Kabbalah Seydus as filing is the opposite of that. So part of what we're dealing with here, we're talking about whether or not A, there's a din of Tchilas Kigmar, B, whether or not there's an abstract, or a pragmatic, already concrete element to the Kabbalah Seydus. You know, C, whether the requirements of more dayanim, which are understandable certainly in the psak and maybe even in the masa matan, are they also applicable to Kabbalah Seydus? Part of what we're really discussing is what really happens in Kabbalah Seydus, and what is, is this more of like a technical, necessary first step? It's gathering facts, basically, in which case, we can downgrade it to in the ways that we were talking about. Or is this already part of the din, in which case we would also expect that it would be treated and have impact beyond that. So again, maybe my favorite raya, for most Rishonim at least, is the din of davar v'lo chatzi davar. Right? Davar v'lo chatzi davar is a very shocking halacha when you think about it. Right? Al pi shnayim enim yakum davar. And Chazal tell us, davar v'lo chatzi davar. There's machlokas in the Gemara about how far, in the Mishnah rather, how far to push that. The Mishnah in Bav Basra, Gemara Bav Basra, and other places discusses this issue. The Rimigash, la halacha, the way we pass the halacha, mostly neutralizes the din of davar v'lo chatzi davar. At the end of the day, it says it means if you have, seyar echad begabo and echad bekreso, so that's davar v'lo chatzi davar. Okay. But that basically means sort of godless, right? So what that really means is that if you were to put these halves together, they do not a whole make, right? Because godless and katnus requires, a single spot. Otherwise, it doesn't reflect anything. So if I say that's davar below chatzi davar, it's another way of saying that, it's basically a fancy way of saying that, you have to be discerning when you're trying to, the quantity, is not always half, or half quantity is not always, half quality. Essentially. But most Rishonim did not interpret that way. That's the way the Rimigash and Bav Basra, Daf Nun Vav, interpreted Davar B'lo Chatzi Davar. But that is against the Pashtus. Yeah. What motivated the Rimigash very quickly is this problem. Like, why can't Bezin collect facts? Like, if I have, private detectives, or not private detectives, they have, Shotrim who work for them. And, they collect facts, and on the basis of the facts, you put together a case, right? There's a certain skill in doing that, and it's understandable in any, criminal or judicial proceeding that you have to, have good fact gatherers, and there's a method of doing that, but what should be the problem? So basically, Rabbi Gash says, yeah, maybe Rabbi Kiva had some Xeris HaKasim, some about the integrity of the Eidos, the standalone integrity of the Eidos. But per se, it's about collecting information. And collecting information means whatever information you combine, if it works, it works. The ones that don't work, don't work. That's the din of davar v'lo chatzi davar. But most Rishonim do not interpret that way. Most Rishonim think, for example, that you really cannot, or that should be justification why you can have, different Eidim. I'm talking about, two Eidim. Two Eidim, who testify about 1 year of Chazaka, and two Eidim who testify about another year of Chazaka. Why isn't that Davar below Chatzi Davar? La Halacha. They're bothered by that. Or, again, if you have, you know, two Edim who testify about, you know, one Seir, and then two Edim who testify about the other, but in the same place, you know, that you can't put that together. That's called Dover v'lo Chatzi Dover. So why is that Dover v'lo Chatzi Dover? I mean, assuming you have two witnesses, they are the equivalent of total verification, truth, right? So you have objective evidence, which combined, you know, gives you a full picture. Why does the full story, you know, and the information to indict or to prosecute have to come from a single, you know, kad of edim? And at the end of the day, the explanation why, you know, la halacha, you know, we don't demand this, let's say, for gimel shnei chazaka, is, you know, because it is a davar shalem, according to the Rif and others, linyan chiyuv peiros, it's going to be a davar shalem. You know, even if it gets basically when the edim come to court, so we say, you know, the squatter owes $1,000, you know, for this year of eating peiros. You know, and then the second group comes and they say, oh, now he owes $2,000. Fortunately for him, when the third cat, you know, comes to court, they say, oh, he doesn't owe a penny, it's his field. Anyways, but the point is that this is what the Rishonim, or the Ramban, or the Imei, other Rishonim, who say, don't say, think that, because they perhaps don't think, this is also a fascinating argument, that the evidence in the opposite direction counts for Davar v'lo Chatzi Davar. Right? Let's say I'm trying to build a case that Ruvain, the squatter, is the owner. He claims that he bought the property and that he's been there for Gimel Shanim. Right? So what? You're going to say that this is a davar shalem, each edus is a davar shalem because he's going to have to pay as a squatter. Those are like different Dine Torah. That's already a, by the way, that too is a filing, an interesting filing issue, right? So the Rambanu Di'ime, possibly is what Rashi is getting at. No, well, it's davar shalem doesn't have to be necessarily that you can, you know, it's a standalone and you have the full case, you know, to win. But at least it's telling a story. Basically, when two Edom come to court, this is the way the Ramban puts it in Cheskes Abatim, when people, and I think this is what Rashi is saying also, when two people come to court and they say, oh, Reuven's been living there, you know, from Tavshin Ayin Gimel to Tavshin Ayin Dalet. So the first thing you think of is not necessarily squatter, you know, we're going to take him to court and, you know, bill him for every, you know, peach and plum that he ate. But, you know, Reuven claims he's the owner, that he bought the field 3 years ago. Starting to look like, you know, Machzikba Kedemachazkiba Inshi. You know, and then the next court say, it's strengthening this case even further. And so on. So even though you need all three, and Rabbi Kiva felt that was, you know, that's not Davar V'lo Chatzi Davar, but the view of the Chachamim is that, you know, it's being made all bailus, basically. Oh, very fascinating. As opposed to, you know, when two Edom come and they say, Echad Begaba, and then two other Edom come and they say Echad Begaba, so the way Rashi implies, and the Ramban, as I say, explicates it is, so which one comes to court and says Echad Begaba, right? So you say, oh, Adayin Katanu, right? And the other one, you know, each one saying Katan, so two Katans a God will make. If we had all the information that, and let's say it wasn't the same, you know, hair. It was like, you know, on this quadrant. This goes. Anyway, it doesn't... You understand. Basically, it has to do with Kabbalah's Eidos, basically. How the Eidos is received. So what I'm trying to highlight with this is two things. What I'm trying to show is that in the Halacha, it's very, very possible and explains a lot of things that Kabbalah's Eidos is... not just about gathering of facts. It's already part of the process and the interpretation of Kabbalah's Eidos. Now, how Beis Din receives, that's what we mean by Kabbalah's Eidos, is a critical component. How Beis Din files it, I'm just using the phrase file, you can use anything you want, how they accept it, what they understand from it, matters. And this illustrates it in two ways. Number one, because you have Rimigash aside, for most Rishonim, you know, collecting the facts, even though we believe them, is not enough. You're building a case, but you don't have Edim, and the integrity of the Eidos, and it doesn't speak to the case. Only the Beis Din artificially, you know, putting it together without the Edim. The Edim need to do that. That's what Davar, V'lo Chatzi Davar, is all about. That's A. B, the question is, part of what then constitutes davar v'lo chatzi davar, you know, and then you have the debate, what about l'chova and l'schus, and what about when it's nothing, but you're building a case, and the impression here as opposed to the impression there, katan, katan, adayin, katan, you know, maksik, vokin, b'chazki, inchi, looking more like a chazak, that's all interpretive, that's all filing. Like, how are you accepting and interpreting and receiving, you know, this testimony? So the din of davar v'lachatzi davar highlights that. We also have din, which we've spoken about in the past, and we'll just speak about again this year, that, you know, there are certain psulei edus, which seem to be kabbalas edus issues, you know, where the gavra is not mufka mi edus, but the bezin's not, under these conditions, going to accept his edus, including, possibly, the psulei kurva, which we'll get to, hopefully, in the second part of the year. And other things possibly. Other things. The point is that there can be a psul based on Kabbalah Seidus, A. Already established. Kabbalah Seidus isn't just a technicality. It's not just the means, the necessary first step, but, you know, which is kind of neutral otherwise in the Din Torah. Moreover, the there are kulas and chumras to this idea of Kabbalah Seidus being something important. You know, the chumras are what we just said, that sometimes Bezin won't just, you know, they won't do it. They're not going to go that route. But there's also a tremendous kula, as we know, and this is what we've seen, and that is that you get the equivalent of what the Gemara sometimes calls, you know, migu de chayli ahai, chayli ahai. You know, if you have a Kabbalah Seidus problem, but somehow the information gets into the system, because it isn't possible, you'll use it. So there are standards for Kabbalah Seidus, but there's also a very powerful independent impact when there is Kabbalah Seidus and something's in the system. Right? The example of Davar V'lo Chatzi Davar for the Rif that I mentioned a second ago, where, you know, you have the guy, right now he owes him $1,000, even though he's trying to win the field. Right? But you can use that, that's called Davar Shalem, and then in the end, when there are three of them, you'll use it for the field, right? It wouldn't have gotten in the system if it wasn't filed already in another case. But actually, this is, those of you who are here at the end of the year, June, this is basically what we're talking about in Shavi Nafshe Chaticha Di Surah and some other cases, the famous Rambam, you know, about Huchsak HaDavra Yidei Echad. You know, what if the, you know, somebody comes to court, an aide, and he says, you know, this piece of meat is chaylev, right? So the Rambam says, you know, if he came in the context of trying to a din Torah against the guy who ate it, he said, oh, he ate chaylev. You know, this piece, I'm telling you, I just, you know, what he just ate, I identify as chaylev. So that's eid echad, and eid echad doesn't work, you know, for onshin and malchus and so on. But if the guy eid echad identified it as, you know, chaylev, and then 10 minutes later, the guy picked it up and he ate it, right? That counts. And he's going to have malchus for that. So in a way, that's because it's in the system. It got in the system, you know, in a certain way, and now we accept it as fact. So anyways, in Shavi Nafshe Chaticha Di Surah, this is a big issue, and we try to fine-tune it a little even more to explain some difficult Rambams and other things, meaning you can have different levels of standards, you know, for different types of information and for the application for different Dine Torah, and mostly, you know, you want to keep those files and file cabinets separate. So in Dine Nefashos are certain standards, in Bominus are certain standards, in Malchus are certain standards, in Isurim there are different standards. Normally, you would think never the twain shall meet. But here and there, you know, when something gets into the system, all of a sudden it has impact. These are examples that we're talking about. So that's also migud chayli ahai. The Gemara has this daf tes, according to most Rishonim's reading of the Gemara, not like the Ravid. We'll get to it. When the Gemara speaks about pagin and dibure, and eidus batal mitzasa batla kula, according to the way Rashi and Tosis and the Rambam read the Gemara is talking about, you know, being machshir eidus, because migud chayli ahai, chayli ahai. That's an amazing idea. The Gemara also in Daf Chav Gimel in Zavora, we'll speak about it in Nogei Badavar. Also, the Gemara says at one point, you know, well, maybe if you can use it for this, you can use it for that. So this idea of Kabbalah Seidus in general, and, you know, where, how, you know, the kulas and the chumras of it, seem to highlight that Kabbalas Eidus is not just the gathering of facts, and it's not completely neutral, because it's how they perceive it and what they do with it. Again, there's a very big theme, obviously, in Drisha B'Chakira, which we'll be talking about later in the year. This is very critical. Yad Ha'edim Tiyabah B'Rishon La'amiso is also part of this, meaning the Torah, number one, is a Chovas Hagadas Eidus. That's the sugya of Shvuas Eidus. Shvuas Eidus is when he's Nijba L'Sheker, that he doesn't know Eidus, but implicit in that is that there's a Chovas Hagadas Eidus. There is a Chovas Hagadas Eidus. The question is where it comes from, but that's a fourth parak of Shavuos topic. But again, Biarta Ramakirbecha, the idea that, you know, Edim, on the one hand, are bystanders, and, you know, Bemekaime Dabar Akasav Medaber, you know, they can't be Baledinim, you know, they need to be more objective. You know, all of that is true. And at the same time, the idea that they have nothing whatsoever to do with the Din Torah is also not true. According to one view in the Gemara, which we'll be discussing also very extensively in the end of the first parak, or that part of the first parak, Edim have to give the Hasra, right? And, you know, Yada Edim Tiyabo Barishon Elohamiso also implies that the Edim are not completely neutral. So on the one hand, we know that Edim, you know, have their role, and it's a circumscribed role. That's also part of this. So you have Ein Eid Nasa Dayan, right? Which again, Rishonim interpreted differently, but for some Rishonim it means, you know, the Edim part is you know, checks and balances, the Edim are the Edim, the Dayanim are the Dayanim. Not all Rishonim think it means that. For the ones who mean that, who think it means that, so Edim and Dayanim, their roles are different. But at the same time, the Edim are not completely outsiders either. They are part of the process. And the more that we view them as part of the process, the idea that, you know, there's a certain standard, davar v'lo chatzi davar, that there's a way of, you know, of them being, vetted and interviewed, namely Kabbalas Eidus, Drisha V'Chakira, all these things, and how, you know, they are, what their posture is, literally, you know, standing, all these kind of issues imply that the Edim play a role. And if that's the case, then the idea that we're not just gathering, you know, objective, you know, information and facts, and the Dayanim are like the detectives putting the case together, then the idea that the Kabbalas Eidus of Nefashos is different than the Kabbalas Eidus of Mamonos, and, you know, and maybe even Bezen Hagadol, etc., all of these issues, you know, come into play. It isn't just a din of Tchilaso and Sofo, although maybe that's part of that din too, but it might be that, the demands of, you know, this particular kind of Bezen apply, you know, in a very convincing way also to the Kabbalas Eidus, because Kabbalas Eidus is an important phase. So there should be a recognition that it's still Tchila, not Sof, you know, that it's a different part. It's the part with the Edim. There can be, the posture, you know, that there are stages and developments within a Din Torah, and that doesn't mean that that there are only certain parts are critical or have the requirements. So this is all just background to part of this issue of, you know, of Kabbalas Eidus being treated differently than Gemar Din. L'kula l'chumra, we had the case of Yochid Mumche, who can be done, and what about the Kabbalas Eidus, and what about the, you know, Kim Shtaros, you know, in that case, etc. So this is all part of that problem. Yeah. Yes, but we'll get to it when we get to it. But yeah, I think that topic is very what you need Dvar Torah and so on is very important, to this as well. But I say the Hasra issue, Chovas Haggadah, the status of the Edim, all of these issues are very, very connected. So I should also just mention that, we have a rule of Mipiyam Velo Mipiksava. There's a big debate among the Rishonim whether or not, Kabbalas Eidus you know, could take place, you know, b'ksav. Everybody's probably familiar with the Shita of Rabbeinu Tam. Normally we say b'pien v'lom b'ksav. When it comes to shtaros, we say in a machsum mal shtar nasa can be shenechkara edusim bebezdin. The chiddush of a shtar, that's the din of Reish Lakish, is that the kabbalas edus, right, is accomplished, you know, in a very unusual way. But in a regular din Torah, we talk about edus al peh. You know, can you also have that done b'ksav? So Rabbeinu Tam's view was that. You know, Adam Kosev Igeris Edus Bishtar. But Rashi speaks about this Perush Ala Torah and says you can't do, but Rabbeinu Tam basically felt that you could do it. And the only thing that we have a din of Mipiyam Balom Piksavam is either to be Mimayit Ilaim, you know, or possibly to distinguish between Dine Mamadis and Dine Nefashos, which is also fascinating in light of some of our discussions. In the Sefer Ashtaros of the Reed Barceloni, he has something called Sefer Ashtaros. We should also read his Ksav Smicha, by the way. He has a Ksav called Ksav Kabbalah Seidus, where, you know, where there's a way of being Mekabel Eidus, you know, the Ksav through a Shtar. Not in a regular Shtar, like Reish Lakish. But most are shown him the opinion that that's Mipiyam below Mipi Ksavam, that you cannot do that. And that the Kabbalah Seidus requires real interrogation that needs, you know, living, breathing edim, not a deposition on a piece of paper, and that kind of interaction. And that is very clear. That's the majority view of the Rishonim. I think it's also related. Again, you could say, well, it's all still about gathering facts, and it's still a neutral part of the Din Torah, but, you know, you still have to have the possibility of the questions in the end. The Ritva in Makos on Zion of an Aleph, you know, seems to interpret that way. The question is, what is the relationship between Mipiyam Balom Piksavam and not having, you know, Kabbalah Seidus Piksav, and the idea that, you know, you also, you know, shouldn't have, you know, the Eidim testifying through a Meturgaman, you know, which is the Gemara, that's what the Sugya in Makos on Zion of an Aleph is all about. Are these the same din, or are they different dinim? Etc. The whole idea of lawyers, which the Rishonim call antlers, in Sugya, in beginning of Shuas Eidos, in Daf Lamed, and in Sanhedrin, and in Makos, and is a very important chapter. In other words, to what extent do you have to have a direct? But this is all part of this bigger question of the role of Eidim and of Kabbalah Eidos, and the extent to which we really just see this more as a technical function, you know, more pragmatic in terms of collecting evidence and information, or whether or not the collection of evidence and information has to be done in a certain way because there's a much bigger process going on here, and these roles are very distinguishing of what the halacha is all about. So anyway, so that is in terms of the Michas Chinuch here. I also mentioned the Michas Chinuch on Tav Tes, and then again, in light of this, just to emphasize again what we were saying. So the Michas Chinuch here also discusses this question, and here he brings the raya from Sanhedrin Mem Aleph Amud Aleph. What did I say? Tav Tes what? Is it Tav Tes? Tav Tes Sifkat and Gimel. He says in Hey Vesi B'Chibur Zeh Masha Kasev Ramban Shoftim. He quotes from Sajagon and the Ramban, and then he says, "Pnei Yeshua, b'masachet Makos, heyomid beis, hisigal Ramban, v'dato k'dasa gon Reb Sajia, v'liani yasdaiti nira pashut l'havi raya mi'agamar sanhedrin memalof amid aleph, the sifkat and gimel, the divrei agon, isa hasam, edi nar marasa shehuz mein narogin, mitoch shecholim lomar losar balabanu, v'parach b'gamar hori hisruba, v'tirzu b'dlo asru." Im kein Lifnei Gimel. So again, what I was suggesting the other day is A, La'osra Bala Banu doesn't necessarily have to be about his actual Kavana. It's about, you know, Alpidin, what is considered to be the nature of the Eidos, the first, you know, and most fundamental aspect of the Eidos. So if you have an Eidos which has more than one ramification, so as I say, you know, getting back to the filing idea or the Kabbalah Eidos, when you hear the Eidos, when the Dayanim hear the Eidos, what's the first thing that they think of? I don't mean literally what's the first thing they think of. What Alpidin should they be, where should they be filing it or thinking about it? You know, well, you might say it's neutral. I mean, they put it in a few different files, you know, and that's very possible. But if there's a prior one, right, when they hear this story, they say, ooh, Isur, you know, Ishal Baal. Or do they say, ooh, get the, Chayve Misos team, you know, ready, you know, for an execution. So, Osra Baal Abanu, right, isn't necessarily about what they, you know, intended. It's about what the Eidos fundamentally is about. And if that's the case, then even if they have to go to a Sanhedrin Shulchan Gimel for technical reasons, because there's also this secondary additional ramification, but it's still a Eidos first and foremost about Isur Isha Labala. And that's what's Koveya regarding, you know, Hazama. That's A. And B is even if that's not true, what you might say is that if you have an Eidos, you know, which is relevant, there is a Chalos Eidos, both in a Bezen Shel Ein Aleph and Chav Gimel or Gimel or in all three. Let's say there's something that overlaps to all three, like we've been discussing. So the idea that, you know, a Kabbalas Eidos in a lesser Bezden where there's a lesser, you know, track is accepted, and once it's in the system, it can also then be used by the others. It's in the system. You just, you know, a couple of strokes and it's in the system. So the idea that works is very different than, you know, when you have Kabbalah Seidus, which is relevant only for one thing, you know, and you're using a lesser best. In that respect, again, that would also be another answer, even if you didn't go as far as the Rav's and Avodas HaMelech's answer of Yorani Dachas. What you might say is, oh, there are two Dinei Torah going on at the same time. There's a chalos of Averas Avodah Zarah B'Skila, and there's, you know, it's not just a din in the ear, let's say. On a different level, it's also being part of a Yorani Dachas. That's also a different chalos Avera. Let's say the way Tosfos Menachos possibly was interpreting it, right? But you can't deny that on some level, first, before you hit the 50% point, that this was also about skila and this particular onesh, or regular onesh of Avodah Zarah. So again, both in the Minchas Chinuch's cases, that would be another answer why this is not typical. And again, I mentioned that there were possible steers in Rashi and in the Rambam regarding this issue. A number of these chilukim might be a basis to distinguish when it comes to all of these issues. Okay, regarding the idea that in certain cases, at least, the gimel might be a delegation of the kaf gimel, which I was suggesting as well, particularly in the case of Turgaman as Shivim Lashon. So Eli brought to my attention after the shir that it does sound that way actually in the Ramach. As we know, the Ramach critiques the Rambam, rejects the Rambam. You have language? And basically opts for Rashi in the Sugya, right? But his language, in contrast to that of the Rabbeinu Yonah. Yeah, go ahead. You don't mind? Say again? I missed it. Yeah. Right. So he doesn't say, oh, Kabbalah Seidus by Gimel, you know, is enough. You only need this Sanhedrin for the Gemara Din. Right. What he does say is, that when Gimel, you know, who are capable linguistically, hear it, so the whole bezin is hearing it. So he's basically, you know, suggesting this idea of a delegation. But as I say, in that case, you'd probably have to have the standing bezin already, because it wouldn't work if you had Gimel, you know, or random Gimel or other Gimel, and they heard it. It'd have to be, you know, dayanim who are qualified, you know, for Chav Gimel number one, and who are already part of an existing, you know, the existing bezin shel Chav Gimel, which is going to follow through on this case. And that would be an important, just practical enough community. But that seems to be the view of the Ramach. And then Eli also brought to my attention that the Yerushalmi has such a line as well in different contexts. The Gemara says on Zayin Amud Beis, you know, that there's Gviyas Tzedakah and there's, you know, Chalukas Tzedakah. The Gemara discusses this also in the first parak of Avasra, you know, that Chalukas Tzedakah is like a serious matter. Because it's, you know, Mamana Tzibur and decisions are being made, and it's, you know, kind of a Bezdin prerogative, etc. Anyways, Eli, you have the language there?
I don't know
what I mean. So, what does it say? The Rishalmi basically says that really, go ahead. It's almost like Dina Nefashos, right? It has the equivalent to status of Dina Nefashos. However,
you're going to be able to get Chav Gimel in time, and then you're going to be like dying.
So again, this is another example where you have a gimel, which is part of the chav gimel. And I think the third example that he gave me, which I thought was also very interesting, is the marsha, right? The marsha on Yud Zayin Amud Beis. Actually, this is interesting. This part is in the Chiddushei Agados, not in the Chiddushei Halachos. But he suggests, like, how do you know Shnayim Medaber and Echad Shomea? Like, where do you get the number three from? So he says that you get it from, you have language of the Marsha? Yeah, so what emerges from there? That basically, the very fascinating suggestion, that the Shnayim Medabrim Echad Shomea of the Sanhedrin Shel Chav Gimel, right, is the source for it is the Gimel Smuchim, or the Gimel Elohim 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 of Bezin Shel Dinei Ma'am, Bezin Shel Gimel, basically. So that's quite fascinating that, you know, again, it sounds like, you know, it's a Gimel in the Chav Gimel. Okay, he obviously means it, and maybe this is why it's in the Chiddushei Agados. Obviously, they have to be spoken, they're members of Sanhedrin Shel Chav Gimel. But he means more than that, like Echad, you know, Shayim Medabrim Echad Shomem, even a higher level. But what comes out is two things. Number one, that Bezin Shel Gimel, right, is playing a role in Sanhedrin Shel, like the standout people in Chav Gimel. And then B, that, you know, the, you know, there's kind of a, you know, like a little contingent, you know, within of Gimel, within the Chav Gimel, which you know, which is playing like a role on behalf of the others. You know, that there are notes within the Chav Gimel, just like there are Talmidim, as we said anyway. I mean, I think you have to say something like this anyway. Just like there are, you know, Talmidim who are involved in the Masa Matan, and the Kiddush Aran thinks this whole sugya is about the Talmidim and the Masa Matan, right? So too, you know, within the numbers themselves, there are people of different, just like there's Av Bezdin and Rosh HaYeshiva and all these things, the, you know, there are different configurations from within. But the idea that this comes from Bezdin Shel Gimel is fascinating, and I think Eli wanted to suggest to me that in a way that's a little bit comparable to Rabbeinu Yonah's suggestion that the reason that you can have Kabbalah Seidus for Gimel is because of their status as Bezdin Inyan Mamanus. But here you have, like, you know, the Mamanus Bezdin within the Chav Gimel. Because that's a little bit, I think it's an interesting hara. Again, it could be Rabbeinu Yonah was just trying to tell you that it's not APA'd. But this idea that within the Chav Gimel there's a Gimel, and that that Gimel is connected to the sources of Bezdin Shel Gimel within Chav Gimel is very fascinating. Okay. And then finally, just to make one other ha'ara. before we go on to the next part, and I want to speak about Drashas Haran a little bit, and that is the this debate between the Ramban and Rav Sajja Gaon. So, of course, we spoke about the Rav Sajja interpretation and all the fallout from that. You know, the Shnayim who are Lifnei Gimel, even in the Pashos. How does the Ramban interpret? So just a quick R on that that I mentioned in the past, but not in the last couple of years, so just it's important for us going forward too. Shlomo, how does Ramban interpret Al Pishnayim or Shlosh Eidim? He rejects Rav Sajja Gaon. So why mention the Shlosha? Right? You didn't get a chance to see it? Josh? No? Yair? Anybody see it? Ramban. Al Atar, yeah. Yeah. That's the Mishnah and the Gemara, they interpret Shnayim Shlosha that way, you know, Lekula and Lechomra. But the Kat, you know, stands and falls as a unit, 100%. We'll get to that. Which, by the way, again is also further evidence that the Eidim aren't just information. The whole innovation about the Mitzasa but Lekula, the idea of a Kat as a unit, you know, really points in that direction too. But we'll get to that. Yeah. Yeah. So basically the Ramban says something very fascinating. Just worth noting, and that is that the more quantity of Eidim that you have, the better Birur that you get. Now, you might think that that's just obvious. So the reason that it's not so obvious is because we have a rule called Trei Kameya Meik Trei, you know, which means that if you have a conflict between 102 or 1,000,002, right, the numbers don't matter anymore, meaning nothing outguns two Eidim. Nothing is better than two Eidim. So if you have Trei Kameya, it's, you know, Trei Trei. And if you have Trei in a context of Hazama against Meya, or a million, then, you know, notwithstanding my causes of Sam Chasahai Smochahai, which we'll talk about also, hopefully, this year, meaning why you should believe the second Kad of Edim, that's the Chiddush of Hazama, that's, you know, what when Rava said, you know, Eim Zomim Chiddushu, Eim Chabal Chiddusho, so my causes to Sam Chasahai Smochahai. So, notwithstanding that, it's you know, the rule of Trei Kameya, both in Akasha and Hazama, is an absolute rule. So two Edim who testify about a million Edim that they're Edim Zomimim, they were all in Chicago, so they all get convicted. So how, once you know that, right, it's very hard to understand the Ramban. Moreover, the Ramban himself is one of the Rishonim who, you know, really kind of expanded the din of, you know, Trei Kameya. Very famous Ramban. Bali Tosas probably also mean this in one of their answers, but Ramban expands on it, both in Bo Basra on Daf Lamed Aleph, and in Ksuvas in the beginning of the second parak. You know, the Bali Tosas many places ask the question about Hazama and Akasha. You know, all these cases. Let's say, Why in Hakhasha, you know, do you not believe the second kat migu di bai amri, you know, imanoi yisem also ploni? They could have been zomimim instead of maktishim. We should believe. No. So this is the famous question that Bali Tosas asks. So there are different questions given. There are different answers given to this question. One is a very technical one that Bali Tosas say, and that is a truism, nothing conceptual but true. And that is that it's hard for, you know, it's hard enough for people to lie. It's much more difficult for people to coordinate their lies. You know, so when you have more than one liar, it's easier, you know, to catch them. You know, you know, for Shnei Medim, you know, to lie together, you know, is hard. So Migu doesn't apply, you know, with Shnei, with two people. That's a technical answer. Others suggest That, you know, the whole idea of migu just doesn't apply to Eidim. Maybe migu is limited to Bali Dvarim. They're obviously like that idea. Maybe it isn't a birur, it's more like a namanus, in which case it only is relevant to Bali Dvarim. But if you don't give that answer, it's a very strong question. So one of the answers Bali Tosis give, and that the Ramban elaborates on, is the idea that when you have treu, then something like migu just can't help you, because trei is kameya. So, you know, if you were to have two edim against two edim, then you had another 10 edim, you know, to join them, that wouldn't make any difference. So the migu is going to make a difference, right? There's no such thing as edim plus. If edim plus edim are nothing, then edim plus migu is nothing, essentially. That's the idea of Ramban, and basically the assumption there is, because the highest level of birur that you can get is Edom. Edom is truth. Right? That's why one of the reasons that the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu is so unassailable, which is one of the Kari Amuna, is because it's backed up by Edom. So that's a big theme of the Rambam in Chosodei Torah, and again the Ramban in his Torah Hashem Tamima, and again in his Parashat LaTorah. So it's fascinating that the Ramban, who actually expanded that idea of Trei Kameya, you know, to eliminate the assistance of other Mevarim, it's fascinating that he's the one who tells you that Al Pi Shnayim or Shlosha, you know, that Shlosha are better than Shnayim. So what it means, basically, what comes from this is that while you can't do better than Shnayim, in the sense of, you know, if you have Shnayim on a certain side, we treat that as truth. And as objective, you know, fact. It doesn't mean that we are blind, you know, to a more compelling, evidence. And it doesn't have any halachic significance other than possibly, you know, kind of, you know, a tzarech levar, or if a person commits himself to a higher level. Yeah, I have this a little bit again in the, we will get to it in the third parak. You know, when the Gemara talks about Onogeh B'davar and Tzarech Levarer, a person commits himself to, you know, to bringing two Kitei Edim instead of one Kad Edim. Do we hold him to that? And is that just his Chayvus, or because on a certain level there's more Birur in it? How can there be more Birur? It's Trei Kameya. The answer is nothing can overcome. When you have two on your side, you can't be overcome. That's different than saying that L'chatchila, there isn't a quantitatively the superior option level of birur, and that's what the Ramban is saying. These are two different points, although the difference is a subtle one. Okay, so now I wanted to speak for a couple of minutes about two things. Number one, the parsha of expanding manhigus from Moshe Rabbeinu, and then the drasha saran. If I don't finish drasha saran today, let's make sure we see it for tomorrow, and then we're also going to speak about some of the smicha issues that we want to talk about tomorrow. But of course the background for the smicha issue and so on is the parsha in Baaloscha. So again, initially, as we discussed, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu was the single address both for a psak, you know, for din, you know, in a Sanhedrin, and also for malchus, for leadership. And when you have a Moshe Rabbeinu, available, kimoshe, then that's, you know, very understandable. And I would even, you know, say further than that, that it was necessary in the beginnings of Klal Yisrael's status as a nation, you know, that the tone be set, that the initial, you know, leadership model be the one which is the most idealistic and the most ambitious. And Moshe Rabbeinu, as, you know, the first, you know, as Rabbeinu, as the first Dayan, you know, as the exclusive Dayan initially, as you know, the first Melech, to some extent also as the first Kohen Gadol, but, you know, that was, you know, short-lived and intended to be that way, probably, Machlokas and Chazal. Is a critical way to initiate the process. And the Kuna Gedola part, I've spoken about that in the past, it's actually related to the Rambam in Hilchos Avodas Yom Kippurim, Now, there's a debate between the Rambam and the Ravid, you know, whether you know, lechatchila the Kohen Gadol who's nismana, as the Rambam and the Ravid of Tzmaisa Karbanos, is supposed to wait, you know, a week before he's oved, or not. So the model for this, of course, is the Yimei Amiluim, and you know, the Ravid thinks that it's special din in the Yimei Amiluim, and you know, also perhaps a special din in Yom Kippurim, but beyond that, there's no such din. And the Rambam calls this, counts this as a wider, bigger idea. So actually, the Rav used to explain this was his. Why should it be a special din in Yom Kippur? You know, why wouldn't the Kohen Gadol in Yom Kippur be a paradigm for the Kohen Gadol, you know, in all of his avodah? That's when the Rav used to famously quote the language of the piyut of Ato Konanta, where the you know, Aaron HaKohen's role, you know, is expanded. The Dore Doris as well, which obviously flows from the Parsha in Achrei Mos, right? Bezos Yavo Aaron Ala Kodesh, and all Parsha really is about Aaron HaKohen. And then in the end of the Parsha, we speak about, you know, Tachtav Mibanav. So again, in the Piyut, it's very clear that we're speaking about Tachas Aaron HaKohen. So they're obviously explained that the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur isn't just the Kohen Gadol, he's, you know, Tachas Aaron HaKohen. This din of waiting a week is part of you know, as part of that process, you know, as well. So, anyways, part of the discussion in the Nos HaKelim is you know, the Radvaz and others is, well, what about the, you know, the paradigm of the Miluim, and you know, in Moshe Rabbeinu. So it seems like Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, had to step in because Aaron HaKohen couldn't be oved, you know, right away. So again, this would seem to be a raya, you know, let's say for the Rambam, that this isn't just a din in Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur, it's a din in it was a din in the Miluim as well. It's probably a broader din. So the answer to that question could be, I think, one of two. One is that, again, if you look at the beginning of Yuma, so there are a lot of parallels between Avodas Yom Kippurim and the Yimei Amiluim. And again, whether it's the Tachas Aaron HaKohen issue or something else, the idea that every Yom Kippur is a kind of a Miluim, which highlights again some unique role of Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. This is not our topic right now. That's, I think, one perspective. But the other perspective I always thought was that the assumption is that you know, Aaron HaKohen couldn't be oved, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, with his chaluk, you know, had to step in, you know, for the first 7 days. But probably more likely is that the idea of initiating the Kohuna Gedola with Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, was a lechatchila necessity. Maybe Aaron HaKohen couldn't begin, according to the Ravid, dafka because Moshe Rabbeinu had to initiate, you know, the Kohuna Gedola. So the role of Moshe Rabbeinu in Balchus, in Kohuna Gedola, in answering Klal Yisrael's Lidrosh Eso Elokim, is something that that is unique. And of course, this is a critical issue in Smicha too, as we've been discussing, right? The Smicha Biyadayim of Yehoshua, we'll speak more about it, you know, being you know, unique, but also being part of the Mesorah. Ad Beis Dino Shel Yehoshua, Ad Beis Dino Shel Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu being, you know, Keneged Ayin Aleph. We'll see that in the Gemara of Smicha in just a second. Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, Bamidbar, another issue which we'll go back to in just a second. All of these roles of Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, were critical. Yisro already gave him the advice, both to, you know, forestall burnout, as we discussed, but also, you know, Ludore Doros, but also even for its own time and for the, you know, health of Klal Yisrael, and even sometimes for the Toeles of Lidrosh Es Elokim, you know, to get other people involved in the Sanhedrin, that part of it. And Moshe Rabbeinu himself, you know, far from his, you know, initial Yisro exuberance, you know, of wanting to do it all, already by the time we reach Parshas Baloscha, you know, has suffered a little bit on the Malchus side of things for, you know, for being the exclusive address, in a way, of Klal Yisrael's, you know, leadership needs. And that's why he's very critical, you know, of the nation, context of the misonanim, and, you know, kind of shouts out for help. So, Vayomer Moshe Hashem, Lama Hariosa La'avnecha, Lama Lama Tzasi Chein Ve'enecha, Lassum Es Masa Kala Amaze Alai, Ha'anochi Harisi Es Kala Amaze Manochi Linitiu, Ki Tamar Elai Sa'eo Bechaykecha, Kasher Yisaho Mein Es Ayonek, Ala Adama Shenishba La'avosa. So that's his complaint, and of course then from there it gets merged into the actual issue at hand. Me'ayim Libasar, Lassay Es Kala Amaze. But then it goes back to Lo Chal Anochi Levadila says as Kol Amazek Ki Kaved Mimeni Im Kacha At Osali Hargeni Naharog and Matzasi Chen Benecha Alar Ebera Asi. So again, there's the frustration of the immediate issue, but clearly there's also the complaint that, you know, this leadership model, you know, has run its course. So what's fascinating is that if you look at the, you know, the demands of Moshe Rabbeinu, it's purely here, at least on the political level. It's, you know, leadership of the nation. But the response in the parsha from the Rebbeinu Sholem goes way beyond that. And instead, it merges, you know, the Yisro parts together with the leadership parts. And instead of just providing alternative or additional political leadership, it really is about, you know, the spiritual injecting the spiritual component and the focus on the zakenim, you know, whose status is Tamid Chachamim, and who are given, you know, Mehodosh or Moshe Rabbeinu, part of his spiritual persona, that becomes part of the political issue as well. So Vayomar Shema Moshe, right, Esfali Shivimish Mizikne Yisrael, Asher Yadata Kihem Zikne Ha'am Vishotrav. Okay, the Shotrav are also an interesting point. V'lakachta sam al olamoid v'yitziatzbu sham imach v'yaradati v'dibarti imcha sham v'yatzalti min haruach asher alecha v'samti aleihem v'nasu itcha b'masa ha'am v'lo tisa ata levadecha. Right? So basically, this political leadership is going to take the, not what Moshe Rabbeinu asked for, it's going to take the manifestation of v'yaradati v'dibarti imcha Sham and atzalti min aruach hashar lacha v'samti aleihem. And that's really what happens. And, you know, then it talks about the specifics again, in terms of the misonanim, and then goes back to it. Vayomer Hashem Moshe. A second. Vayesof pasuk kavdalid. Vayetsi Moshe vayidaber la'am as divra Hashem. Vayesof shivim ish mizikne ha'am. Vayamedo sam svivosa ohel. Vayered Hashem ba'anan, vayidaber elav, vayotzo min haruach asher alav, vayitein al shivim ish hazkenim, vayhi kenoach aleihem haruach. Then, of course, this is not such a simple, you know, thing. So, vayisnabu v'lo yasafu, vayisharu shnei anashim b'machane, shema achad eldad, shema sheni meidad, vatanach aleihem haruach, hema baksuvim, layotzo o'ala, vayinabu, vayisnabu rather b'machane, teyaretz anar v'yagin the Moshe, vayomer eldad meidad misnabim b'machane. But you can really understand what's going on here, because Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, really asked for political assistance. The Rebbeinu Shlom basically said to him, you know, political leadership of Klal Yisrael is not something, you know, which can be absent by Yatzel min haruach. Therefore, it needs people of a certain, you know, stature in terms of ruchnius and a connection to you personally. But then, where do you draw the line in terms of, you know, this function and you know, usurping the Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's Vayar Tanar, according to Chazal, is, you know, Yehoshua, the Nar Shala Yomish Mitocha Oel, who really understood what Moshe Rabbeinu was all about more than anybody else. And he's upset that Misnab and Manach, Vayan Yehoshua Binun, Bisharis Moshe, Mibachurav, Vayomar, Adoni Moshe Kilaim, right? I like the Pshat of, you know, Hatel Aleim Tzarcha Tzibur, you know, Mason Hey Me Aleim, but, you know, Vayomer lo Moshe hamekanei atali mi tein kol am Hashem neviim ki tein Hashem esrucha aleihem. So basically, this is a remarkable parsha, right? And this is where we end up with the idea of smicha and the extension of leadership and vayatzel min haruach. And then the question, of course, is so. In the end of the day, if you're talking about checks and balances or the division of power, so in the halacha, it's much trickier. And that's why you've already noted, and we want to speak tomorrow more about this, that this vayatzel min haruach and the smicha biyadayim, and the Rambam's, in my opinion, very, very significant, formulation in Perek Dalet of hashras hashchina, what's it doing here? But this is all part of smicha ledayanus. It's the language of the Gemara is, and then which the Rambam basically is working with korile, savi or zaken, v'nasan l'rishus l'adun dinei knasas. So there really are two components. There's the minuya gavra, which has to do with the total persona of this person, and him standing in the Mesorah in a certain way and being, more than the sum of its parts, and achieving a certain high stature. And then there's the function. And the function, flows from the status. You still have to figure out, when you have one and you don't have the other and how that all works. But part of the story of Smicha is the original story of Moshe and Yoshua and the Zakenim, both the methodology, this greater ambition, etc. And but at the same time, understanding how these components really work in balance with each other. So in a way, before we get to the smicha part of it, that's why I just wanted to spend in Mar Makomos, I gave a look at the Drasha Saran. How many people read through the Drasha, at least the first half of the Drasha? Nobody? Yaakov did. And Shua did. Okay. So, I'll leave it. Maybe we'll just speak about it very quickly tomorrow because it's already a little late. So, it's really a fascinating, it's really worth reading. Is it worth reading?
Worth reading.
Okay. Yeah? Okay. Good read. I only. What's that?
Good read. Two thumbs up.
Yeah, it's amazing. So, it's really worth reading, and it really zeroes in on a lot of the issues that we've been speaking about. So the Drasha Saran, basically, and we already mentioned this in the beginning, talks about the difference between the role of the Melech and the role of the Shofet. And but he highlights in this, the intricate, relationship between the political side of leadership and the spiritual side of leadership. But he particularly accentuates how Mishpat Tzedek, that's his take on Psukim. That's also fascinating how the Rishonim, had a very original, compelling readings of Torah Shebichsav, which, flowed from, but also then had impact on the way that they saw things. So his, V'shaftu Esa'am Mishpat Tzedek, his pshat in that, basically is, encapsulates, what we've been talking about, which is the idea that Choshen Mishpat, while it is also addresses, pragmatic issues and life, but fundamentally what makes it singular is its connection to the rest of the Mikzos HaTorah, for Drasha Saran. Well, we'll read some of the passages inside this very quickly tomorrow, even like Chukim and Korbanos, etc. And what that highlights is the transcendent quality, the Shefa Eloki Dveikus Bashem, using his language, aspects of Mishpat. V'shaftu Sa'am Mishpat Tzedek means that the Dayan is in charge of the Choshen Mishpat dimension, right? That not the pragmatic aspect of it, but the the idealistic and spiritual aspect. That's what the words V'shaftu Sa'am Mishpat Tzedek. The Melech is in charge of the pragmatic part of Choshen Mishpat, or beyond Choshen Mishpat. But the Dayan is somebody who is entrusted with the Mishpat Tzedek component. So I want to speak just a little bit about that tomorrow, and then to talk about the Mishnah and the Rambam's Perush Mishnayos, integrating parlo davar shel tzibur egla rufa and smicha of dayanus, and you know the things that we started to talk about, and the you know his kiddush hasmicha and how that fits into some of the language of the Gemara. As much as we can get in tomorrow before the break, and then I guess we'll probably have hopefully maybe one more shiur when we come back, and then on this topic, or one or two maybe, and then you know we'll start from that day. So just look at the drasha tomorrow, because it really is just, you have to read it inside to really, you know, appreciate fully, you know, what a good sefer it is, what an amazing thing. Right. Okay, and then so that's 10 o'clock, so we're going to try to meet on the second floor. If there's a change, you'll let me know.